Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here from AgriBull and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Hey, Eric, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon to you.
Well, let's start with what's going to happen in the near term. I see maybe there's a storm system coming next week.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The storm system is one we've actually been talking about for a while. It is the end result of, remember that super typhoon Hagibis we've been talking about, I think, for 2 weeks? It's finally worked its way across the North Pacific, and it has really strengthened the jet stream in the North Pacific. I mean, it's fast right now, and it's coming right down over the next couple of days into this weekend into the middle part of the country. So as this happens, it's going to kind of put an end to our nice little dry streak we've had here in the Midwest and in parts of the central U.S. We had this nice little drier time period. A lot of harvesting did get done in places, but this next storm system that comes through is really going to be adding a lot of insult to injury in the northern part of the U.S. and also bring in the chance here for quite a bit of rainfall once we begin our new week. So here's the setup. Low pressure system is going to emerge more than likely out of Wyoming, a little farther north, and it's going to dip basically to the Nebraska-South Dakota border and then head toward the Great Lakes. So we're going to be on the southern side of this, the warmer side of it, but there's quite a bit of Gulf moisture that will be involved in this system. So as it comes through, we do have the chance for, if the thing slows down just a little bit, we may be looking at some pretty nasty thunderstorms as the main front comes through at the beginning of the week. On the northern side of this, though, this is where the problems are going to be because we still have all that snow on the ground. It will be slowly melting over the next 2 to 3 days as the warm-up happens out ahead of this system. So that's going to start a flooding problem. And there's about 3 inches of liquid equivalent in that. And then we are going to see the northern side of this storm system basically rain all over parts of Minnesota, North and South Dakota. Now, what will be tricky, and this will be important for, I think, Iowa farmers and Illinois farmers, you know, these storm systems kind of look like a candy cane, right? There's a backside of them that has a, what we call a dry slot. Somebody is going to be fortunate enough to be in that dry slot. Will it be Illinois? Will it be Iowa? Well, the jury's still out on that. But if you're in that dry slot, you're not going to be picking up the additional rain, and that could be very beneficial to keep the harvesting efforts going after this system plows through. So it's a big one. Thankfully, it's not a snow producer, but it is. It's going to be a pretty powerful low pressure system that sweeps through here by the time, I mean, it'll be gone by the time we get to Tuesday of next week.
What's the end of the week look like then?
Well, there's a little, I call them kickers. There's a second little trough coming in the backside of this broader trough feature that'll go to the Great Lakes and there, between there and the Hudson Bay. And it's going to try to sneak through at the end of the week. So think Wednesday night through Friday morning. So mainly a Thursday event. And it's going to go through the northern plains. And this one might actually have enough cold air on the backside of it to be producing some snow in the northern plains again. And nobody there wants to hear me say that. Now, it's still pretty far out. It's, you know, it's a week out in the forecast. So the timing, the location, the intensity is still up in the air, but the models have been pretty keyed in on that. The good news is that after that system goes through, we will be in, we'll be seeing more ridging out west and more troughing over the East Coast. And we would be in between that here in the Midwest, and that is a drier pattern. And that would be a welcome sign for a lot of us here, but it will be cool. And given that we've already seen below freezing temperatures reach all the way into the Ohio River Valley, it certainly covered parts, you know, big parts of Illinois, bringing us down for a few hours below freezing in the last 4 or 5 days. You know, we are at a point where if it just gets cold and allows us to get a harvest in, that's okay. So that's not the case the further north we go, as you and I have both talked about quite a bit.
Yeah, two things. Drier than what, and what does it mean longer term into the month of November?
Yeah, so drier than what? Drier than it has been, which still could mean that we get some precipitation coming through. But, you know, we finished September and we have begun October with places in Illinois that are between 300 and 400% of average on rainfall. That'd be the northern half of the state. Same thing for almost all of Iowa. And you get into the Dakotas, there are some places there that are between 600 and 800% of normal rainfall during that time period. So that is excessive. They have as much as 4 to 6 inches of extra water that's in the soil in those locations. So, you know, those folks would love for everything to freeze up so that they could get in and get some work done because it's just a mud fest up there with all of this rain that's coming on top of that snow that's melting.
What's happening in Brazil?
So Brazil's been interesting because the Pacific Ocean has been kind of out of sorts because of this big Indian Ocean dipole event. We've seen that in the Amazon, they've been getting rain. We've seen that in northern Mato Grosso, they've seen some rain. And then we're anticipating quite a bit of rain on a frontal boundary that's going to pass through northern Argentina and southern Brazil. But you get into central and eastern Brazil, they're still dealing with the long-term effects of this drought. And so they're about 10% or so off the planting pace that they were at a year ago. And while this will likely not have an impact on soybeans, it will potentially delay the planting of the safrinha crops, of which, of course, there's corn and cotton. So I think what we all need to be doing right now is watch how much of a delay they get in the planting. And then you and I need to have a lot of great discussion come the end of December through the month of January, beginning of February, on exactly how much rain they are getting, because that will be the crucial time period that'll tell us if they're going to get that bean crop out on time or if it will continue to see delays and what it'll do to the yields too.
I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
And of course, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Eric.
Yep, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions.